Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
You guys remember meeting your first homeschooled kid? Fuck, they're weird. If you never met a homie, I'll explain it to you. Homeschool kids always act exactly the way an alien would act if they took over a human's body. Like, they kind of get it, but if you watch them from a distance, you're just like, that one's eating cereal with a fork. Homeschool. And they just show up. Just walk out of a house in your neighborhood you were sure no children lived in. They always come out and smell like socks that weren't dried all the way. Yeah, they're gross. And the very first thing they say to you is always nuttier than squirrel shit. It's never, "Hi, I'm Steve." It's always, "My name's Baxter and my dad puts honey in our milk." And you're like, I don't fucking think so. Just grow up to fuck weird, like they only move their shoulders. Are there any of you fucking freaks in here tonight? You're homeschooled? Jesus. You don't look it. How long? Fuck off, really? So this is like when pandas stop being cute and they just put them back into the wild, right? Your whole life? Church? Religious? Yeah, that's always what it is. Would you do it to your kids?
Never.
Yeah. Good. Very smart. Thank you for being honest. Security.
All right, that was Shane Torres, one of the funniest guys in the business. IMO.
Hysterical.
Stand up with Chris Stefano and Nicole Boyce. Comedy Central.
Gail's daughter.
Oh, Gail's daughter, Chloe. Right. Sorry, Chloe. GDC. Gail's daughter, Chloe. Sorry.
Chloe going through a rebrand.
Yes. Sorry, GDC. Sorry.
Back to school episode of Stand Up with Chris Stefano. Got a bunch of school clips.
Fuck yeah.
For all the kids out there and the parents.
Yo, I know.
Big demos for Stand Up with Chris Stefano.
Big, absolutely.
You're a parent?
I feel like a good amount of my, I am a parent. I feel like I have
a decent amount
of people who reach out to me on social media that like my work, that say they're parents as well.
Mm.
So they're like, if you can do it, I can do it. It's one of those.
And for those reasons, you're inspiration.
Yeah, it's
to us all.
It's weird though how like with social media now, you know, like my kids' teachers are like, I follow you on Instagram. I'm
so
like,
weird.
Please don't. Please don't.
Yeah.
You know, but what am I going to do? It's like they. I can't tell them not to.
Right.
They have, yeah. Or even weirder, following, I mean, the shit that my kids' teachers used to put on Instagram,
oh,
you're like,
God.
Oh my God. Because they're like
they're 24.
Girls in their 20s that are like hot, like yeah. doing things, and you're like, Jesus Christ, it's my kid's teacher. It's my kid's teacher. You know, it's like one of 27th birthday, like started drinking at like 10 o'clock in the morning, like a shit show. You're like following their stories, and you're like, you're going to be teaching my kid tomorrow. You know?
Yeah, she's
like,
putting on a movie tomorrow. That's what she's
oh,
doing.
Yeah. Or like crazy shit.
Do
like,
you think about Delilah sort of looking at your social media, looking at her mom's, looking at her teachers?
I do think about that.
It was like the first thing that we would do is like look them up on social media.
Well,
your
yeah,
teachers,
you,
girl,
well, yeah, huh. Cause you, yeah. That's yeah, because you
like
had
school
you had
ago.
Teachers in the social media age. You were in high school.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
your high school teachers had Instagram.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, they
so weird.
They like my friends and I were generally more early adopters of Instagram than our teachers, but
right.
they were online and stuff like that, and you would look them up and try and find everything on them.
Even like some teachers that I know, they're, you know, just friends or whatever, like they'll post something to their Instagram story or their Snapchat of a kid doing something, and I'm like, I feel like you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, weird. I feel like you can't. Like, one of my friends posted a kid like getting an answer wrong and like being silly.
Oh, they're students?
Yeah, they're students, like,
wait,
in the school. I'm like,
unacceptable.
You cannot post these kids.
Of getting the answer wrong?
Like, or like the kid like got this answer wrong. Like, no, like only the teacher knew about it and was like, yeah. And it was like, put like an buzzer. And it's like, what if the kid's mom saw that? Like, wouldn't you be in a lot of trouble?
I think society in general needs to come up with some sort of more hard and fast rules. Hard and fast rules about posting children that do not belong to you. Like, you know what
even
I mean?
Even the children that do belong to you. Fair. There are kids that grow up with their entire lives documented now. And then what happens when you're five and you're like, oh, 1,000 people have seen a picture of me every single day for my entire life.
That's why I wasn't thinking like that. But then I was like, you know what? I'm only going to post my daughter on stories once in a while that like expire. And she has her own private Instagram. It's more of like, it's all, I have to accept everyone that follows. It's mostly just close friends and family where like I have it, but nobody's seeing it. But like as if like it were pictures in a draw of her. Uh-huh. You know what
but
I mean?
What's that going to do for her self-esteem when she's only on your stories? You know, she doesn't get the grid.
That's true.
You know, that will hurt someone.
See? Nicole, that's a really good point.
I have friends that only store me. I don't get in the grid. And that's how you know who your true friends are.
Wow.
Your enemies.
I'm kind of damned. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, because she's not going to be able to look back at your stories. She's only going to see the grid.
Well,
you
here's
give
the thing.
Her like a photo phone book.
Anytime she's on a story that I post on like my social media, like I want, because it's like beautiful things that she does, I'll save that and then post the story on her private Instagram on the grid. Aww. But I just don't want to post her on my main page because it's like that, what you were thinking. And also like, I don't know, like there was one guy, it just took one person and made me realize like, wow, one guy sent me a DM. It was like, beautiful kid, what size are her shoes? And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Weird experience not too long ago where I was walking in the West Village and I recognized a child from social media. And it was like, an influencer girl.
It was Northwest.
Who I sort of know. But she's like an influencer and she posts her kid is adorable and I'm obsessed with him. But then I saw him with a different adult in the village. It was this grandma or babysitter or something. But I was like, I don't know what this is, but this is something. The fact that I just know so much about this child and that I'm walking by, like that is... There's something to that. Like, I don't know.
Concerning.
Well, no, that's why I've like stranger scaled everything danger. Back. And I'm very like, I try to explain to my daughter what this all means. Like, you cannot talk to anyone. Stranger
Daddy's
danger.
Famous. Daddy's
just
famous.
Because, well,
that's
not.
All.
Well, it's almost weird. It'd almost be better for us if I was really famous because then you're untouchable. Yeah, like, exactly. Like Jim Gaffigan can like post his kids because like nobody's going near him. But me, I'm like a micro influencer, you know? So it's like people think like they can send you a message and you're going to see it, you know? And I will see it, you know? And they're right. Yeah, I don't have 20 million followers, you know? If I did, then it's like, then it becomes like, so I feel like for those reasons, I've decided like I am not going to post my kid.
And for those
anymore.
Reasons, we've decided.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do it.
That's good. That's good. That's
trying to think about ahead because it's just a new, like, frontier. New
on the flip side frontier. Of that, like, people posting their toddlers is my favorite part of Instagram. Like, I don't want that to stop.
Right.
You know, so.
And on the other hand, I love it.
Well, I think if you have a small amount of followers and you're just, like,
Yeah, so, Chloe, don't worry about it because you got probably under 1,000 something.
Yeah. You don't got those blue checks, girl. Well, no, you have a lot of fucking famous friends. A lot of blue check friends with the biz you work in.
Are you blue check, Chloe?
No.
Blue check is like,
I didn't know I was
whatevs.
Are you blue check, Nicole?
Yeah, big time.
Dang.
Are you really? Cute.
Nicole, what is your follower count on Instagram and Twitter? Well, it's different.
My Instagram is small. I've just recently tried to expand my Instagram presence.
Why don't you just tell the people what your name is?
Nicole W. Boyce on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter, I'm almost at 8,000 now.
Yay.
It's been going viral.
B-O-Y-C-E.
B-O-Y-C-E.
Because it's just,
Nicole W. Boyce.
But Nicole regularly goes viral with hundreds of thousands of retweets.
Fuck yeah.
Most recently, Jeremy Renner. Yes. Tell people about your Jeremy Renner.
Downloaded the Jeremy Renner app and tried to take a screenshot of me fake purchasing $99 worth of Jeremy Renner stars and accidentally authorized the payment with my thumb because I was taking the screenshot on my iPhone 8, and it paid Jeremy Renner $99.
And what does Jeremy Renner do?
It is an app where only he can post, and you have to buy stars to engage with the post.
He's a movie star that no one needs more information about or from. He's like a big, you know, he's like Marvel and...
I love Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, exactly. But so he has this app. He has this
you
app where...
You wouldn't pay $20 to like his post?
That's kind of the whole thing that's so funny about this is he had this app that was like places for Jeremy Renner fans to connect and like collaborate. It's like there's this thing. It's not...
But for a while... Yeah, like, for a while, it was fine, and it was just for his fans, and it, like, worked out. And then, like, as of, like, a month ago, people started making, like, profiles for, like, Casey Anthony, and it kind of...
It went off the rails pretty recently figured out that every notification that was coming from the app appeared to be coming directly from Jeremy Renner. And so...
It's really funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. It's worth looking up.
But a lot of celebrities have these apps, because, like Chris D'Elia, Chris D'Elia has one, like, from the same company.
So it's not Cameo.
No, it's an app.
Like in other words, it's the Chris D'Elia app.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have to pay $9 a month or something like that, and I can engage, or it's like you pay for per post?
You buy the app. Stars is the currency. App is free. You buy stars to interact, and one would hope to get Jeremy Renner's attention. That's the goal.
So then I'll buy the star to... Different stars will get me different things. Like if I buy 10 stars, I can communicate, like he'll send me a video message.
I think it's like
his posts and stuff like
it's
that.
It's basically just like for these celebrity apps, they aggregate all the content from the different social media platforms into one. So you don't have to check Kylie Jenner's, all of her things. You can just check her app to see like what she's up to on Snapchat and Instagram.
The thought is that like if you had a Facebook profile with like 10 million fans, like Facebook is free. So like why not have those people pay money? That's it.
Well, I think that's where just the world is going, right?
Yeah.
I mean, more and more, again, this is stand-up podcast and I can feel like I could talk about stand-up. It's like, that's what most of like, I bet you comedians are gonna start doing that left and right. Like just be like, hey, I'm just gonna put my thing up, my special on my website. It's like, just pay $5.
Well, yeah, because I think we, in the 80s, 90s, there was like this mega celebrity kind of thing, the cult of celebrity, and now we're kind of seeing celebrities everywhere. Everyone is a celebrity to other people, you know? And that's like what podcasts are popular. Like, you have this microcosm of a small community of people that, like, want to hear your every word.
Yeah, now I feel like it used to be, like, in the 80s and 90s, it's like, oh, yeah, you become a celebrity because you appeal to pretty much everybody. You're a general popularity. Now it's like, you got to be niche. You have to be niche. Nobody cares about the general shit.
Yeah.
Be very niche. Be 100% of these people love you, and if the other people hate you, then who cares? Ooh, Nicole's playing footsies with me.
Oh my God, was I?
Stop I'm trying sorry. To come over to my
sorry.
Side.
You guys, the sexual tension in this room is
palpable.
Palpable.
Between the blue check marks.
No, yeah.
Blue
check mark love.
I'm going to write the pilot. It's called that.
Blue check mark love?
Yeah.
About two publicists introducing two celebrities.
And then they fall in love. That's basically set it up.
Yeah.
The Netflix movie with Zoe Deutsch Gang.
What the hell was that?
Me and my friends do Deutsch Gang. I don't know.
That's really funny.
You literally just said Deutsch something in German and then put your hand up. I was like, what is she fucking doing?
Oh, in hindsight, yes. No, that was a dab for those listening.
Okay.
Great.
She did inhale.
Great content for I did not heil. It's
heil.
In German. So yeah, there's just a bunch of funny apps, celebrities everywhere. Everywhere you turn. Babies, adults.
Do you guys ever watch that show Vikings?
Let's talk about being homeschooled.
Vikings were homeschooled. Okay, let's talk about being homeschooled.
Or just regular
school. Or just school.
Yeah.
School.
Well, let's play next school clips, and then we'll talk about school after.
Anthony Jeselnik, the man, Joe Firestone, the woman, great comedians. I've never met Joe, but all I've heard is great things about her. And we're always so close to each other, but we never have personally met. Anthony, I opened for him once, and he thought I was the janitor. True story.
1 year in high school, I ran for class president, and I lost to a girl in a wheelchair. No, I'm not ashamed. I know she definitely got the sympathy vote, but that's just because I ran a really negative campaign. Vote for Anthony. His ideas have legs. He should all be laughing at that joke. There's no ramp here. This is fucking easy. I'm like 8 minutes in. CD's already gone gold. I was in college, I got stuck in a dorm room with this guy from Eastern Europe. Now, I don't know if there's a problem with people from Eastern Europe, but this guy would not shower or use deodorant. But I didn't have the heart to tell him that he smelled bad, so one morning I left him a note. It said, "Dear Olaf, get out of my country." I loved college. College was so great. The only thing I didn't like about college was calculus. Did you guys take that shit? Hated calculus. Hated it. And I was failing calculus so badly that I tried to get my girlfriend to sleep with my professor to get me an A. But you know how chicks are. She forgot to mention me. My little brother is in high school right now. And we're close, but sometimes he'll take advantage of that. Last week he calls me up, he goes, "Anthony, I just cut school for no reason. Now I need you to write me a sick note and then forge Dad's signature." And I did it. But I'm horrible at stuff like that. His teacher just took one look at the note and said, "Mikey, you expect me to believe this? You don't have AIDS." Now, if you like that AIDS joke, lucky day. You were gonna love this next AIDS joke. I just got an email from an ex-girlfriend of mine telling me that she has AIDS, and I didn't know how to comfort her. So I just wrote back, "I know." Maybe some of you guys noticed a pattern here. These are all great jokes. I just got back from my 10-year high school reunion. The prom queen now weighs 300 pounds and has 3 kids. Heartbreaking. She used to have 5 kids.
Anyone do their talent show as a kid? Anyone do a talent show? Aye, who did that? Is it your talent whistling?
No.
Do you whistle at a lot of things, or was that just getting you going? Did you whistle?
Sorry.
No, don't. I mean, don't apologize for whistling. That's an oxymoron. Okay, so you whistled. What'd you do?
What did I do in talent show?
Yeah.
I played music.
Okay. Okay. I said, who's done a talent show? You whistled. The most confident way to say it, I did. Then when I asked you a follow-up question, you said, music. Give me something. You were in a band.
Yeah, I was in a band.
What's the band called?
I had a band from 6th grade to 11th grade called Recyclable Friend.
That's perfect. That is just about perfect. Do you keep in touch with the other members of Recyclable Friend? One of them. The drummer. Oh, it's always the drummer. It's always the drummer. Isn't it the drummer?
Yes.
Oh, man. I did my middle school talent show. Did you do your middle school talent show?
I did.
What did you do?
I only remember what Lindsay Hickman did.
What did Lindsay Hickman do?
They did open the door, get on the floor, everybody walk the dinosaur. It was powerful. Seared into this, yeah.
Where's Lindsay Hickman now?
Oh, God, I think she was in there. I think she was in Hurricane Harvey. But she's okay.
Oh, my God.
But I just realized that she was probably in the floods, the massive flooding. If you're there, Lindsay, hi, how's it going? Hope your family's good. Probably have kids by now.
Let's give a moment to think about Lindsay Hickman. I hope she's doing all right. Will, always bringing it back to reality. I did a middle school talent show. I was in my middle school talent show, and we decided to do a dance to Come On Over by Christina Aguilera. And we decided we were all gonna wear the same thing. A bunch of friends, we were all gonna wear the same exact thing. And they all agreed. They were like, we gotta do pleather pants and a belly shirt. And I was like, okay. And then I got home, and I was like, I can't wear a belly shirt. I don't want to wear a belly shirt. I'm freaking out. And I told my mom, and she's like, I got a plan. And my mom, she went out, and she got me a skin-colored leotard. And she drew a belly button on it. And you know what? Actually, from far away, like from on stage, it really did look like a leotard with a belly button drawn on it. But the point of the story is, the moral of the story is that it never pays off to be vulnerable. Vulnerable is the right one.
That was Anthony Jeselnik and Joe Firestone.
Two very similar comedians.
V-Sim.
Style, sound, voice.
Anthony Jeselnik, I opened for him in 2012 at Governor's Comedy Club, mm-hmm. and he didn't know that the show hadn't started yet, and I was just sitting in there, and he goes, hey, man, can I just have the room? This is kind of just for the comedians. And I was like, oh, I'm opening. He goes, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. He goes, I genuinely thought you were the custodian. That's what he said. He used the word custodian. I'm like, this isn't a school.
That's so funny.
But he thought I was like the cleaning up, because I was just sitting there, I guess not dressed appropriately. He was the first comedian that I saw, and this was when he was still doing, the comedy club was sold out for him, but you know, now he does the theaters. But they were at the end of his set, like a musician, calling out the jokes they wanted to hear.
Mm, yeah, requests.
So it was dope. Mm, I never seen anything
yeah,
like that.
And then he would get that, yeah.
Do them and they would crush.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Anthony Jeselnik has both a podcast, the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project on Comedy Central podcasts. And then also his new show, Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik, mm-hmm. is currently airing on Friday nights at 11 o'clock. He talks to guests like Nick Kroll, Kristen Schaal,
Nicole,
Kumail Nanjiani, David Spade, Natasha Leggero.
A-listers.
Big ones.
Big ones.
Season 4, Chris DeStefano.
Yes.
Season 4. Maybe I'll get them when it gets season 4, when they need to, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're done with the A-listers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go down the list.
Season 4, we'll get you on.
They accidentally, because every, you know, I get an email to, like, post stupid questions, like to post in the Dropbox. I'll get a Dropbox email to, like, post.
This is blowing up a spot that's not directly mine, but it's adjacent to mine, and I should have caught this, and I did
every
not.
Every Friday,
and I'm embarrassed
I'll get it.
About this.
I'll get the Dropbox
about to, tell.
To post the stupid questions, which is a show on Comedy Central. It's either on at 11 or 11:30. It's on in between other shows.
11:30 currently.
Currently, Friday's Comedy Central. I ask guests stupid questions. Whatever. It's 5 minutes, but maybe we'll make it longer. But they normally send me the Dropbox, and I open the Dropbox, and it was an episode. It was Anthony Jeselnik's first episode. So I got somebody fucked up, and then I got to see
exclusive
Anthony Jeselnik's show before the rest of America.
Did you post it?
Yep.
So this is a school episode.
My kid's in preschool now, yes. Which is, you know what's weird? This is, school is nuts. My kids can't bring certain schools now, New York City Board of Ed, certain schools, no more homework.
What?
Homework's out, and no book bags. Nuts.
That makes sense.
So that, okay.
It's like certain schools are like, no homework. You do not have.
What's homework?
Because they're like more focused on in the classroom, like one-on-one, and they figure because of technology, there's no point to do homework. The child's just going to go Google the answers anyway. Hmm. So you might as well teach them all they need to know when their phones are locked up and they have no choice to Google it.
They probably also have the option of giving them homework digitally.
Sure.
They'll email you your math thing, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So like, yeah, the book bags, it's not necessary. Like my I know a kid who's 9 years old. You can bring the book bag in, their school is okay with it, but there's no textbooks. Everything is digitally. Each kid has a smart tablet,
cool.
And that's what they do their work on.
Sick, because textbooks are paper. So heavy
and paper trying to save fucking Amazon
in
over
my
here
back. Yeah,
you well, know
too late for that.
Wild world we live in, though.
Wild world we live in.
It's a wild, wild world.
I wonder if it's easier or harder to cheat without textbooks.
I think cheating is so easy now. Like, I mean, you could do anything. Like, I can have my phone away and, like, have my earpiece in and have someone fucking reading me the answers. Like, it's just so easy to cheat.
I used to print in tiny, like, 0.4 size font and then put it on the inside of a water bottle.
Well, let me ask you.
Ooh,
you grew up in, like,
clever.
The Google age, because Chloe and I weren't in...
Excuse me. I grew up in the Google age.
No, we were Googling, but, like, in high school, like, you didn't have your smartphone. You didn't have a smartphone in high school.
I did not.
She did.
That's
so good. It's like, how did it work? How did it work, like, with school for you? Like, couldn't you just Google your homework?
All of our classes took place on Vine. it was weird. No, I think you would, well, because the questions aren't like...
Come on in, Ann. We're almost done.
Okay,
cool. Okay, so, Nicola, you're telling us about how you cheated your way through school because you Googled it, you millennial. Yeah.
Well, the questions aren't like, what's 5 + 5? It's like, who was Thomas Jefferson's, like, best friend? It's like
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, bad example for this fucking guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. They're not things you can necessarily just, like, Google, I guess. I don't know.
No, but I feel like
maybe smart enough too. I don't know.
No, there's certainly like things that you. I mean, anything like.
But like you can't Google a math problem. Like how do you even type in?
Sure, you can.
You can't
I feel like
type
you could,
in like the PEMDAS.
You can't.
You can't type in PEMDAS.
PEMDAS.
Well, you know, like.
Yeah. No,
like,
we're saying. Do you?
What's PEMDAS?
Oh.
True.
Parentheses. The little guys. That's the integrals.
And
electrons. What is it?
Electrons.
Multiplication.
It's the
division.
Order you do all the things in.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
It's the order of operations.
Got it.
Order of operations.
I'm saying, I knew it, that some schools, New York City's public schools, no homework anymore. And some schools have no book bags. Mike, 9 years old, no, he doesn't have, he can, but it's not necessary to bring a book bag.
I remember like being like in kindergarten though, and you have like a backpack, and the backpack's just like holding one piece of paper that has like your multiplication on it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It is... Weird,
for your mom.
But it's so fun to choose a backpack.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. I know my kid has a book bag in preschool, and it's just her piggy and blankie are in there, and like bags of fucking snacks.
What's her backpack theme?
It's like furry and like kind of like 80s tie-dye colors. She loves 80s stuff.
That's sick.
She like always wants to like put her hair like dress it like 80s, like vintage.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow,
I don't know why, but that's what she wants.
Okay. Well, let's play some John Mulaney, another...
Who's that?
comedian.
But what's... Is he going to talk about going back to school?
He's going
to
talk about school.
What, is he fucking putting Petunia in school?
Hot ref.
Hot, yeah. Hot ref.
Talk to you next week, Chris.
No.
Okay.
All right, fine, I'll be here.
I'll
come.
Summer break. Yeah, please come next week.
Yep.
Okay.
Go back to school.
Bye.
Do it, or just get an education and don't use it, like me.
I wasn't very good in school when I was younger, and my worst subject was math. And I went to this grade school where they did this thing one year where they decided to divide all the kids up into two different math groups, right, based on your abilities. And the first group that you could be in was called the Blue Angels. And it was named after the famous aviators. And the other group was called Group 2. Yeah. Oh, we were a swell bunch of kids in Group 2. The best part of it is, we picked the name ourselves. The teacher was like, hey, what are we gonna call you, Group 2? And we were like, ah, bingo, you got it right there. 4 and 5 is 12, and we're done for the day. I went to a Catholic grade school when I was younger, and we had to like learn a new Bible story every single week, and it was this Bible study class, although it wasn't called Bible study class, it was called religious studies. We mainly studied one religion. It wasn't a lot of like Hinduism or anything in there. So you'd learn a Bible story, like backwards and forwards, and then we'd like present on them at the end of the week. And so a lot of them are still burned into my brain, you know? Also, there's like a lot of weird stuff going on in there, like the story of King Solomon and the baby. Do you guys remember that one? If you don't, I'll take you through the details. So in the Bible, King Solomon, he's like the wise king of Israel. And these two women bring him a baby. And they say, King Solomon, we both claim that this is our baby. What are you gonna do? And Solomon says, well, we will cut the baby down the middle. And the first woman says, oh, okay. And the other woman says, no, don't cut the baby down the middle. And King Solomon says to her, ah, ha, 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 congratulations. You have proven yourself to be the real mother. A couple things with that. One, who is this first woman that's like, yeah, cut the baby in half? That sounds like a good idea. Like, what kind of awful bitch has just stolen a baby? She stole a baby. And then the first time she's asked about it, she's like, look, I'll take what I can get. Can I get the legs? I'll take the legs. She can have the top part. She is so fucked up that she calls the head the top part. Secondly, that he knew it was the real mother because she knows not to cut a baby in half. Yeah, I think most people would come to that conclusion. Like, even if I was just like walking down the street and there was someone about to saw a child in half, I would be like, hey, why don't you not do that? And he'd be like, oh, you must be the father. Congratulations. You have passed my test.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.